University of Wyoming political scientist Jim King joins us now to talk even more about the Trump presidency. There's a lot of speculation about how Trump will operate now that he's president-elect. And King joins me to discuss that and what some Wyoming residents said before the election.
Yeah, kind of the first question is, you know, what will Trump truly make his priorities for his first year? You know, raise a lot of things about economic issues, about trade issues, immigration. At some point, he needs to sit down and sort out what's the most important. Because one of the things we know is a president who throws a lot of things at Congress in a hurry. Things don't get done because there's no sense of priority. So he's going to have to start by figuring out, you know, what issues that he wants to push forward in the first 3 or 4 months, what issues then come up in the next, you know, few months after that. You know, if you think back, you look back, you know, when Obama came in, he made, you know, his economic stimulus policy the first thing and then moved to health care. When Bush came in, he made his tax cut program the first thing and then moved to education. I mean, both of those kind of set the standard or follow the standard mode of, you know, you've got to keep attention focused on something, and you can't have it, you know, scattered attention on a lot of different things.
So many times when we see a election, and so if you have a Republican or a Democrat that gets elected and there's a Republican or a Democratic Congress at the same time, it seems like they frequently are on the same page and they will jump ahead with those types of things. Do you see this Congress as being on the same page with him on most of the things you've heard him say?
I'm not sure. They're certainly not on the same page in the same way that the Congress was in agreement with, for example, Reagan when he came in 1981, the way Congress was in agreement with Bush in 2001, to some extent Obama in 2009. You don't have that same type of connection because, you know, the president-elect is coming out of, if you will, kind of a different faction within his party. And, you know, so there's not that starting point of agreement, you know, so it's not going to be as easy as it might be for, you know, a different type of candidate who has been elected. But, you know, you still have Republicans sharing a number of ideas from the Capitol and the White House. So, you know, they're going to be able to find some common ground.
Is there pressure on him to deliver big, like, right away?
Yeah, but there's always a newly elected president like that always faces that pressure. Reagan had pressure to deliver on his economic program, Bush on his, Obama on his. You know that's the expectation is the president will take office and be ready to move forward on whatever the key policy is. Now, usually, that's economics. We'll see if that's what you know, a Trump administration presses. I would be surprised if it pressed something other than economics, because that's usually the thing that is driving elections, unless there is some major crisis that's immediately facing the country. And I don't see that, you know, there's an emergency so much as a general sense that we need to move forward on economic issues. And so I think that will be where they'll press forward. But, you know, the expectation is when President Trump takes office, he's going to be ready to offer a set of proposals on the economy. And we're not going to wait 6 months to see what he might come up with.
I want to ask you one more thing, and so you got some attitude, asked a number of attitude questions, a lot of questions when you did your survey, and something struck me. I'll get there in just a second, but, you know, we're hearing and reading so much about how the media and others missed some of the anger out there. When you did your polling, did you see that sort of anger in our state?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, what we found in the our survey of the Wyoming voters was that we had 60% when asked, you know, and we first asked, you know, who do you plan to vote for? And then, you know, was this a vote Are you voting for someone, for that candidate, or are you voting, is your vote primarily in opposition to another candidate? And 60% said it was an opposition vote. And I don't have anything to compare that to, because we didn't see the same type of environment where we thought to ask that question in the past. But that number struck me as, you know, being very high. And it was pretty consistent across, you know, a majority of Clinton voters were voting against Trump. A majority of Trump voters were voting against Clinton. A majority of the Stein and Johnson voters were voting against the other candidates. You know, it was across the board thing. It wasn't just simply one group was unhappy with the other. There's a lot of dissatisfaction. You know, three-fourths of our Wyomingites in our sample who were expecting to vote were dissatisfied with the options they had from the two major parties. And when you see numbers like that, you know that there is just a general dissatisfaction. And when that happens, you know, there's a pretty good chance that who's not in power is going to prevail.
So you don't see people that are, even though they voted for him, maybe are all that excited about it.
Yeah, I think that was something that stood out in this survey. We asked, you know, a number of questions, you know, about, you know, how well does a characteristic, a word or phrase describe a candidate, you know, cares about people like me, shares my values, trustworthy, can make tough decisions. And across the board, you know, Trump came out lower than Romney 4 years ago. Across the board, Clinton came out lower than Obama 4 years ago. So there's just a unhappiness that neither one of these candidates really fit people's ideals.
Jim King, always a pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.